السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. About dunya and how much we need of it and its relationship to freedom and the lack of freedom, or what types of freedom we seek and happiness. And as we mentioned before the pause, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined the dunya as sijin of the mu'min, and he also said that all we need of this dunya is like the traveler traveling in an open desert needs of short time to rest under the shade of a tree and then gets up and leaves. And I want to share this other saying of his, that to me, and I hope inshallah to you too, it has to do a lot with freedom. It has to do a lot with the freedom of the heart. It has to do with him. It has to do with the choice between dunya and himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, in one of the instances in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think it was after the conquest of Mecca, during that, but after, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened Mecca, and after Ghazwat Hunayn, the Muhajirun, the Ansar, and the new Muslims who just had embraced Islam right after the conquest of Mecca, like Abu Sufyan and others. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed the booty, and it was, mashallah, riches upon riches. And as usual, he keeps nothing for himself. He gave and gave in ways you don't imagine. And he gave also to people who were not very close to him. He gave mostly to people who were not close to him, and new Muslims, and even who were rich, like Abu Sufyan and his children and so on. And he gave to others and not to the Ansar. The Ansar were the inhabitants of Medina and those who believed in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and offered him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shelter and refuge and asylum, if you will, and support and so on. So when he distributed those riches so generously, so magnanimously to those other people, the Ansar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, some of them felt in their heart something. They felt that, aren't we his beloved ones? And to his supporters. And they didn't express that to him, but they felt that perhaps he should have given them also as much as he gave those, or he didn't give them at all anything. And the news reached him, and he gathered the Ansar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm not going to say of all what happened in that encounter. I think I did share something like that with you in this retreat here some years ago, when we spoke of some reflections on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this part he told them, this part of what he told them, أَلَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ النَّاسُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَتَرْجِعُوا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَى بُيُوتِكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. أَلَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ النَّاسُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَتَرْجِعُوا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَى بُيُوتِكُمْ. He said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means, don't you feel satisfied, or don't you desire, or aren't you pleased that the rest of the world, that people have taken dunya with them, and you have returned with dunya, and you have returned with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your homes. Do you see what I'm trying to see? Dunya and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All dunya and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whom should I, or which should I have at home? This is a clear statement. Whom should I have? Which should I have with me all the time and at home? The world, dunya, the treasures of dunya, the riches of dunya, the power of dunya, or Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with you and no dunya is an act of freedom. Free from dunya. Dunya doesn't weigh much at all. It only burdens the qalb. It only burdens the walk and the journey of the qalb towards its ultimate, most blissful destination. Isn't that beautiful? أَلَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ النَّاسُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَتَرْجِعُونَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى بُيُوتِكُمْ بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بَلَى سبحان الله. And remember when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَرَوْ رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا. We mentioned that yesterday. إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَرَوْ رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا. Verily know that you shall not see your Lord until you die. You shall not see your Lord until you die. The apparent meaning is clear and that is intended. But another spiritual meaning, as Shaykh Abdul Qadir was saying, die, 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 die. And ultimately when you really die, that is from your irada, then you live forever. You are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your qalb. You have seen Allah with your qalb in this dunya. You have arrived at the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. My dear brothers and sisters. You know, the concept of al-bala' and freedom. The relationship between al-bala' and freedom. The relationship between tribulations, hardships, challenges, difficulties, afflictions, and freedom. I can ask you to write about that, and I know inshallah you will write beautifully by now. And you can see the relationship. I don't need to comment. What does bala' do? How does bala' help us liberate our hearts? How does bala' help us become free? How do tribulations and afflictions of illness and of disease and of lack of provisions and sustenance sometimes and of injustices sometimes, all different types of bala', that which we don't desire, which we don't like, which is not comfortable to the self, that bala is intended to liberate us, is intended to free our hearts by melting the nafs around the heart. By melting the nafs around the heart, and it loses its grip from the qalb and it lets free. Inna Allah idha ahabba qawman ibtalahum, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily, if and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hubb for a people, He subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts them. And when He afflicts them, and because He has hubb for them, and they are good people, struggling people, then what will they show in the face of that calamity and an affliction, and in that uphill road? They will show at least sabr, endurance and perseverance. And therefore, the bala' for them will be like the fire for gold, the fire for a precious metal that has impurities inside of it, and we want only the pure metal. So what do? We melt under the fire of fire. We melt the metal, the compound, and then when it is molten, then it's very easily it becomes to remove the impurities, and then we end up with pure gold, pure metal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things to us in the quest of His nearness, to bring us even nearer to Him and to allow our hearts for greater momentum towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by bala, by that fire of bala that will melt our ego, that will melt our shahwa, that will melt our hawa, that will melt our attachment to the khalq, our reliance with our hearts on the khalq, our reliance on our hearts, with our hearts on the nafs itself, on the means. It purifies us from all of those. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Wallahi innahu lahaq. To liberate the qulub further, subhanAllah. The bala does that. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was cleansed and cleansed and cleansed and cleansed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give him a position that he gave no one before him. And he wanted to completely free his qalb from even some legitimate love. Some ulama say, one would say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Ibrahim to offer his son in sacrifice, why? Have we ever asked the question? Why? Why would he ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would he ask? He wouldn't ask me, he wouldn't ask you. Maybe, alhamdulillah, I'm sorry, he wouldn't ask me, I apologize. Maybe everyone is better than me, hafizakumullah. He wouldn't ask me. He asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to offer his son. Why? Did you think about that? Why? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want blood? تعالى الله عن ذلك علوا كبيرا. Allah is exalted from that. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want pain for Ibrahim and for his son? Is Allah more loving for Ismail or his, whoever his son was? Or is Ibrahim more loving for his son or Ismail? Who is? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did he do that to him? Why did he do that to Ismail? Yes, because he loved both of them. And he wanted their hearts to be completely free for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that there is nothing anymore except him, and then they can experience the utmost happiness in their hearts, for the utmost freedom. So Ibrahim had still the love of Ismail or his son inside his heart. Legitimate one, halal one, permissible one. So he says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, offer your son in sacrifice. The son is told about what the father is being told to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The son says, yes, father. This was not any son or any child. But look what type of child it was, in my opinion, from the texts and from the seer of the Anbiya and so on. Allah tells us in the Quran, remember Ibrahim is on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correct? He's on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Nabi. Inni ذَاهِبٌ ila Rabbi. He says the hidden dimension behind his movement geographically is his movement with his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran also, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمَ إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That Ibrahim came to his Lord with a qalb that is salim. Ibrahim is on a journey with his qalb, very, very powerful journey with his qalb towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his sa'i, in his sa'i towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his qalb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a child. He asks for a child. رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. O dear Lord, grant me of the righteous ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that. And he gave him غُلَامٌ حَلِيمٌ. Haleem, subhanAllah, forbearing. Response to anger and to violence and to injustice and to loudness with calmness. Haleem, very forbearing, like a mountain of patience. Haleem. And then Allah tells us, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَ. Yes, that is the outer sa'i. Sa'i meaning, also meaning walking, literally. But sa'i in the Quran and in the Arabic language means, in particular, the acts of the heart and the acts of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the acts of doing. وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. This indicates that when Ismail himself alayhi salam became of mature qalb to walk with his father towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the quest with his father towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how else could you understand that to say to a child, I'm going to slaughter you? How would a child understand that? And how could a child respond like Ismail responded alayhi salam, if his qalb were not already in that sa'i that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems to indicate to us here? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. Now the trial, the bala. قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. Then he said, oh dear son, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. I see in my visions, and they were many it seems, that I am offering you in sacrifice. And the Anbiya's visions and dreams are wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. How would a father with such depth of knowledge and spiritual knowledge as well would say, what's your opinion, my son? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. By the way, if it doesn't exist in the Old Testament, some Jewish fellows and friends, when I share with them this, they, you have that? He asked him his permission? Because to them it was a crime, astaghfirullah, it was rude, it was astaghfirullah. He said, alhamdulillah, that's at least, as far as a human perspective is concerned, it is solved because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. The father says to his son, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think? He sought his consent, his opinion. And because he was in sa'i, mature spiritually, he asked him that question. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And Allah is exalted from telling us things that don't make sense or that's not important. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. He was with him in his say, مَعَهُ. Then, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Look at this response. This is not the response of a child, just a child in heart. اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. O Father, do as you are commanded. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me, inshaAllah, of those who show sabr, forbearance. And then Allah says what? فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. Again, another indication that we're talking about this type of sa'i together. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When they both gave themselves in, surrendered their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They freed themselves. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. In other words, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came to them intended to free them. Intended to free them. They didn't know, perhaps. But they truly aslama from the depth of themselves. They truly, Ismail decided truly to be offered. And Ibrahim alayhi salam decided truly to offer the son. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Even he turned him on his forehead. so that he doesn't have to look at him in the eyes. And it is said that Ismail told him that. Turn me on my forehead, because if you looked at me, you may weaken, O Father. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَمِينَ The nafs was slaughtered. The part that was there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even legitimately, was slaughtered. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ Then we called upon him, Ya Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the vision. Verily such, in such way, نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ We reward those who are muhsinun. So it was a reward. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ Before he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ Before he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ransomed him with a momentous ذِبْح, offering. Before he said that, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ What happened to you right there, and that Islam and that liberation, that is your real jaza. And the jaza of those who are muhsinun. And then after that he said subhanahu wa ta'ala إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ This is the most manifest of bala. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ The important lesson I intended from this for myself and to communicate is the relationship between bala and freedom. And Ibrahim was fully free, the greatest freedom a human being can ever attain. Nothing in the sirr of his qalb, nothing, no one, not even Ismail. And Ismail, not even his father. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not even Abu Bakr. For he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ولكن صاحبكم خليل الرحمن ولا ينبغي لي في رواية أحسبها قالت ولا ينبغي لي أن أتخذ خليلا I am not to take Khalil. My Khalil is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I were to have any Khalil, it would have been Abu Bakr. Al-Bala and freedom. This is not the type of freedom that we are used to, or is it? It's not freedom of the self. This is the freedom from the self. The freedom of the qalb. And the bala' does that to us. The bala' to the mu'min, the bala' to the seeker, is intended to do that, my dear brothers and sisters. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and because of the barakah, and the yusr, and the ease of this deen, and the moderation of Islam, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يفعل ما يشاء no one was asked after Ibrahim alayhi salam to offer his son, and no one will be asked to do that. And al-Sharia al-Islamiyah tusamha came with ease and relieved previous nations from burdens that were put upon them to attain certain results. And Allah could attain results He wants subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the means he wants. And the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, many people, especially years and years after their lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, struggles and bala, many of them had dunya, had a lot of dunya. a lot of dunya. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله تعالى عنهم, and others. But look, this is, I think, what one of the scholars said, rahimahullah ta'ala, so beautifully, so that we understand where we stand. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَكَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا فِي أَكُفِّهِمْ لَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ صَبَرُوا عَنْهَا حِينَ فُقِدَتْ وَشَكَرُوا اللَّهَ حِينَ وُجِدَتْ وَإِنَّمَا ابْتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالْفَاقَةِ وَإِنَّمَا ابْتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالْفَاقَةِ فِي أَوَّلِ أَمْرِهِمْ حَتَّى تَكَمَّلَتْ أَنْوَارُهُمْ وَتَطَهَّرَتْ أَسْرَارُهُمْ. وإنما ابتلاهم الله سبحانه وتعالى بالفاقة في أول أمرهم حتى تكملت أنوارهم وتطهرت أسرارهم رضي الله تعالى عنهم فبذلها لهم حينئذ لأنهم لو أعطوها قبل ذلك لعلها كانت تأخذ منهم. فلما أعطوها بعد التمكين والترسيخ في اليقين تصرفوا فيها تصرف الخازن الأمين. So he says رحمه الله تعالى ابن عطاء السكندري جزاك الله خيرا يا نعيم. وكانت الدنيا في أكفهم لا في قلوبهم. دنيا pertaining to the companions رضي الله تعالى عنهم was in their hands, not in their hearts. They showed patience and endurance when they did not have it, and when they don't have it, and they show gratefulness and thankfulness to Allah when they have it. وَإِنَّمَا ابْتَلَاهُمْ, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted them and tried them with hardships and with lack of having, and with poverty, and with meager means. All of that is in faqa, in the beginning of their growth, in the beginning of their quest, fi awwali amrihim, in the beginning of their quest, in order that, and he did that to them in order that, and until their light inside of them were completed and their innermost hearts were purified. Their innermost heart, their asrar, were purified, and their anwar, their lights inside of them, were completed. Then he gave it to them. For had they been given dunya before that, it would have perhaps taken some of their hearts. However, when they were given it, dunya, after their full command, that is, over their nufus, والترسيخ في اليقين, and after deep and profound yaqeen in their hearts, certainty in their hearts, after that, when they were given it, then they treated those possessions, that dunya, as would a very trusting and trustworthy keeper do. So they treated it, they dispensed of it as a trustworthy keeper would dispense of a trust. Isn't this beautiful? Until the qalb is cleansed, until the qalb is cleansed, until the qalb is cleansed, he took it even away from their hands and tried them with affliction upon affliction, trial upon trial, wars and battles and persecution and torture and lack of having and taking away their property and having to move and intellectual, emotional, spiritual, social, military, political challenges and afflictions and bala, all of that, and lack of having, and doubts, part of the challenges and the tribulations and the afflictions that they had to face, and ridicule and all of that bala together, accumulated, loss of life, loss of beloved ones, young and old, man and woman, strong in iman and not so strong in iman, with all of that cleansing and cleansing and cleansing, hatta takammalat anwaruhum wa tataharat asraruhum fa hina idhin badalaha lahum fa tasarrafu fiha tasarruf al-khazini al-amin. My dear brothers and sisters, yes, Allah, Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. How much we can take of this dunya in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that general statement, though said in the context of Hajj? And the context of Hajj is a journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this beautiful connection. In the context of the journey of Hajj, and the journey of Hajj is the ultimate external journey for the ultimate internal journey. And in that context, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Yes? Have your provisions with you. Take provision with you for the trip, for the physical trip. And then he says next to it, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And verily, the best of provision is taqwa. The best of provision is taqwa. The best of provision is taqwa in the path, in the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, the journey to Hajj is a physical journey, but it is mostly and intended to be the internal journey of the mu'min in this life. I'm going to conclude with this other for this morning's session, with this other quote, and a beautiful and a wonderful quote about the path to Allah, about the path of the heart and the freedom of the heart, the happiness of the heart and the quest of the heart and the ultimate aim of the heart. And he expressed it in such wonderful, beautiful ways, and not only once but in so many places, but this one was just, subhanallah, overwhelming. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, غايه همتي المؤمن العارف العالم باب قربه من الحق عز وجل. وأن يصل إليه بقلبه في الحياة الدنيا قبل الآخرة. القرب من الحق عز وجل، القرب من الحق عز وجل هو غاية خطوات، هو غاية خطوات القلب ومسيرة السر. Then he says, إني أراك في قيام وقعود وركوع وسجود وسهر وتعب وقلبك لا يبرح من مكانه ولا يخرج من بيت وجوده ولا يتحول عن عادته. أصدق في طلب مولاك، أصدق في طلب مولاك، فقد أغناك عن كثير من التعب. وانقر بيضة وجودك بمنقار صدقك، وأنقض حيطان رؤيتك للخلق والتقيد بهم بمعاول الإخلاص والتوحيد، واكسر قفص طلبك للأشياء بيد زهدك فيها، وطر بقلبك، وطر بقلبك حتى تقع على ساحل بحر القرب من ربك، فحينئذ يأتيك ملاح العناية، فحينئذ يأتيك ملاح السابقة ومعه سفينة العناية فيأخذك ويعبر بك إلى ربك. End of the journey. لا إله إلا الله. I had to say it continuously without stopping for the flow of the beauty of the meaning. And he gives it in very powerful images. As I'm going to translate it, attempt to translate its meaning in English, I hope that you journey with these words and just free yourself for a moment from any other worries and preoccupations or thoughts, or liberate yourself and just follow this. For if you absorb it with your heart now, you will never forget the meaning of it. Even if you don't forget the specific words, you will know, your heart knows it, and your words may not be there, but you know it. So he says, رحمه الله تعالى ورضي الله تعالى عنه. The aim of the focus of the believer endowed with deep knowledge is the door or the gate of nearness to Al-Haqq Azza wa Jal. And that his heart arrives at his Lord in this world before the hereafter. Nearness from the Haqq Azza wa Jal is the aim of the steps of the heart and the aim of the walk of the innermost heart, of the heart of heart. I see you standing and sitting. I see you in ruku' and in sujood, kneeling and prostrating yourself. I see you in sleepless nights and fatigue and exhaustion. Yet your heart has not moved from its position, nor has it exited from the house of its own being. Nor has it modified its habits. Be truthful. Be truthful in wanting your master. Then less work would enrich you and suffice you. Break the egg of your own being with the beak of your sincere truthfulness. And demolish the walls of your consciousness of the khalq and your being restrained by them with the shovels of ikhlas and tawheed. And break the cage of your desire and want for things with the hand of your zuhd in them, with the hand of your zuhd in them. Then fly with your heart free until you land at the shores of the sea of nearness. And then and only then, the skipper, the captain of, called Sabiqa of your destined future, of your decree, will come to you on the ship of care, inaya, care from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we'll take you to your Lord. This is the ultimate story of freedom. This is the ultimate story and parable of freedom. Does it need comment? I don't think it does. Note that every element is a jail. The jail, the bayra first, the egg, it's a jail. And outside of the egg, when you break the egg, there's another jail. You are inside of a jail, a bigger jail. The jail of ru'yatul khalq. The first egg is your own consciousness of your own being and your self-centeredness. Your own wujud. Bayratu wujudik. You are in this egg. You and you. It's only you. You see you and you and you, and everything is about you. Bayratu wujudik. You're conscious and so conscious of your being. And you're the focus of everything. That's a bayra. So narrow. Then when you break out from that with your sincere desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your mawla, a burst of your qalb, a burst of true desire for Allah, that's the beak with which you're the fledgling inside the egg, and you break the egg to get out. And then when you get out and you start growing, you find yourself, yes, in a bigger space, but then you try to fly and you can't. There are walls and roof. You're inside an enclosure, and that enclosure now is your extra consciousness of the khalq, and you're being bound by them in your heart. All of this is the heart. All of this is the heart. Then you, in order to get free from that, you have to do one thing. You have to demolish the walls. The walls of your ru'ya of the khalq. The walls of your being bound in your heart by the creatures, by people, by human beings. Human beings in particular, this is saying. And then when you demolish that, with what? What do you need for that? Shovels. Hammers. And they are Tawheed, where in your heart you want no more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is desire in seeking Him, and then there is having Him. And then when you have Him in your qalb as much as you can of Tawheed and of Ikhlas, you have Him. You built that through the ta'at and through the mechanisms that we're learning about. Then the walls slowly demolish and fall, and then you find yourself inside a cage with bars, the cage of still liking things, toys of this world, ashiya, qafasu talabika lil ashiya, the desire and the want we have for things, toys of this world, like those who write on their bumper stickers again. What do they write? The one who dies with most toys is the winner. Children have toys, and all the children have toys too. They are just not called toys. And the want for them, because it's not hands, it's again طَلَبُكَ لِلْأَشْيَاءِ, the state of the qalb. Is the qalb that is in this journey of freedom. Then when you destroy those bars around you, that cage around you, with zuhd, with the hand of zuhd, to break the cage, your zuhd in those, that is, your heart does not desire them. Your heart, we may not have them in our hands, but we die to have them. We may even rid ourselves from them, but we die to have them. They are there, they have never left. It's about leaving the qalb. يَدُ زُهْدِكَ فِيهَا. You use the hand of your zuhd to break free from that cage. And once you break free from that cage, you're the bird. Free. You're this bird, free. The qalb now is flying freely. In its journey, free, 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 until at one point it lands at the shores of the sea of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very near. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His inayah, sends His care subhanahu wa ta'ala through the decree that He had always known for you. And He says, come my abd, enter into my presence with your qalb. The qalb arrives. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And we will resume again inshallah ta'ala after Asr. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.